Prema.
Prema.
By Srila Prabhupada. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. Premati bhara nirbhinna pulakango ti nirbhritaha ananda samplavelina na pasham ubhayam mune. O Vasudev, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vasha Patitanam Pavanibho Vaishnavibho Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivaji Guru Mahatma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, the spiritual nature has been described as achinta. It is beyond our sense perception. It is beyond the activities of our mind even. With our senses, with our mind, with our intelligence, we cannot understand the spiritual reality. Because the spiritual nature is completely transcendental to the material nature. And with the material senses or with the material facilities that has been provided to us by the material nature, we cannot possibly perceive or even understand the spiritual nature. Therefore, when there is the descriptions about the spiritual nature or spiritual activities or spiritual emotions, it is taken for granted that it cannot be described by words. Achinta khalu je bhava. The thing that is beyond our sense perception, beyond achinta, beyond our ability of thinking. It cannot be described with the senses, or it cannot be understood by any material means. Like Prabhupada said, like when it is described that Krishna's body is black, it is not actually the black that we know of. Therefore, the descriptions have been given sometimes that it is like the monsoon cloud. Now, when we see the monsoon cloud, we don't really know how to define the monsoon cloud. But that also is not really, Krishna's complexion is like the monsoon cloud. But it comes somewhere near to Krishna's complexion. Similarly, when Radharani's complexion has been described as kumkumakta kanchanabhi. The mixture of kumkum, kumkum is the red. It's an extract of some plant that is made into a thick paste, which has a very bright red color. Ladies actually mark their foreheads with this kumkum. And they call it their faces also sometimes, kumkum. So kumkum mixed with molten gold. Like gold, when it is blended with kumkum, the complexion, the color that we get, that is the closest to the complexion of Srimati Ramananda. But it is completely, everything, the spiritual nature is completely beyond any material description. So here also we are seeing that Narad Muni is explaining, Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva how he felt. And he said that when I perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then my senses stop to function. As if the senses become separated from my body. What he actually exactly said is that every part of my body became separately enlightened. Every part of the body became separately enlightened. And being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see the Lord anymore. And also I couldn't see myself. So he was submerged in such an ecstasy, such a bliss, such a spiritual joy, that he did not have any awareness of anything else. Like, what we have to understand, he didn't have any awareness of himself, and he didn't have any awareness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He couldn't see the Lord, or he couldn't see himself. So his consciousness was submerged in an ocean of bliss, and in that bliss, he lost himself. There is a Sanskrit expression for that. It is called Atma Hara. Anande Atma Hara. In Ananda, you all know. Atma also, you know the meaning of the word. Ananda means bliss, and Atma is the self, and Hara is lost. One loses himself in ecstasy. And actually that's what happens when one experiences a great joy, then he does not have any awareness of his body, but his consciousness experiences a tremendous joy. It is not that he becomes unconscious. It is not that he falls asleep. Sometimes devotees in ecstasy, they faint, as I was explaining yesterday. But that fainting is not like when a sick person faints, or a person with epilepsy faints. It is not that kind of fainting where one loses his consciousness. But actually what happens is he transcends his present consciousness. Fainting is losing one's consciousness. Like we are in this material consciousness, and when one loses his consciousness completely, then it is fainting. But in spiritual ecstasy, what happens is one transcends the material consciousness and becomes conscious of the spiritual reality, which has been explained or described by Srila Prabhupada as Krishna consciousness. It is Krishna consciousness. And in the height of Krishna consciousness, in the highest ecstasy, one actually becomes unconscious. That means his consciousness doesn't function anymore on the material plane. It has also been described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and more elaborately in Ujjala Nilamani, that when one experiences the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the senses actually function separately. Like when one sees the Lord, then all his senses merge into his seeing faculty. He loses his all other senses. That is, when one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all his consciousness just becomes seeing. And then he doesn't have any more awareness of hearing, tasting, touching and smelling. Then he faints. Then when he faints, then the Lord comes and touches his body. This also has been very wonderfully described Madhurya Kadambini, and also in in Brihad Bhagavatam. Anyway, I mean, in many places it has been explained by the Gauri Vaishnava Acharyas, especially the Goswami. So when one faints in this way, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and touches. By seeing him, he fainted. Then the Lord comes and touches his body and brushes his body with his soothing caress. And then getting the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes enlivened. His senses, he comes back to his senses. And then all his senses merge into the touch sense. The perception of touch. Then he doesn't see anything, he doesn't hear anything, he doesn't taste anything, and he doesn't smell anything. But in that experience, again, he faints. And then the Lord gives him, very mercifully he gives him the smell, allows his smell to enter through his nostrils. And then all his senses merge into his smelling faculty. So in this way, we can see how the consciousness, just entire consciousness, takes shelter of only one sense perception. And this is how they, as if it appears as if they function separately. And the thing is, why not? Why not? Like, we in the material nature also we see that when we like something very much, like for example, when we like some music, we are here, when we are completely absorbed in some music, then we are so absorbed in that sound that all our consciousness become, the expression actually is, we become all ears. We become all ears. And then we do not see, we do not taste, we do not touch, we do not have any other consciousness. Or when we like some food very much, we are so absorbed in tasting the food, then we don't have any other consciousness at all. So even in the material platform, we experience that. But the perfection of that experience is on the spiritual plane. In perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the real ecstasy, the real joy lies in there. So Narad Muni is telling Srila Vyasadeva, actually here Narad Muni is instructing Srila Vyasadeva to develop pure devotional service. We can see that the question may arise that Vyasadeva is a literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. Vyasadeva is empowered by the devotion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how come Vyasadeva has to receive initiation by Narad Muni or instructions from Narad Muni to develop Krishna consciousness? The understanding is, when the Lord and his pure devotees perform in such a way that their activities become a perfect example. Just like when Krishna comes, he went to the Gurukul. He goes to the Gurukul. Ramchandra also was educated by his teacher. So in this way we can see that the Lord and his devotees, although there is no need for the sake of establishing the right standard, they act in a certain way. So here, through Vyasadeva, Krishna is actually setting a perfect example that when one wants to understand the spiritual science, then he must approach a bona fide spiritual master. And he was acting in a certain way, and he was acting, Vyasadeva was acting in such a way that it may appear that he was bewildered, he didn't have the understanding, he didn't have the knowledge. Just like Arjun became bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjun, in one hand we can see Arjun must be a pure devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, how could he have this kind of relationship with Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita, Arjun admitted that he thought that Krishna was an ordinary person. He thought that Krishna was his cousin. And therefore, he acted very in a very intimate way with him, and which may have been offensive. Sometimes they were sleeping in the same bed. Sometimes he may have even been teasing Krishna. So this is how these very intimate loving exchanges are allowed by Krishna only to his devotees. This is a prerogative only to the devotees. Krishna doesn't allow any ordinary person to have that kind of exchange with him. Unless and until one is a devotee of the highest order. Like this relationship is beyond Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha associates of Krishna don't have this kind of relationship with him. In Vaikuntha, people cannot, devotees of Krishna, no matter whoever it is, cannot lie in the same bed with Krishna. In Vaikuntha, they can't put his arm around Krishna and say, Krishna, how are you doing today? That this kind of relationship or this kind of loving exchanges are not available in Vaikuntha. So the region where this sort of relationship were taking place is far beyond Vaikuntha. That is the relationship of Hastinapura. And even higher than that is the relationship of Dwarka. So these are the relationships that Krishna allows to his very, very intimate devotees. So Arjuna, whose relationship with Krishna is in Shakya, in friendship, couldn't be bewildered. He must be a pure devotee of Krishna. And not only a pure devotee, a devotee whose position is even higher than the devotees of Vaikuntha. Then, according to the scriptures, we have to understand that it is due to Krishna's yogamaya that the devotees are sometimes made to forget about Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, to come back to Vasudev, like Vasudev couldn't possibly be bewildered. But we have to understand that in order to establish certain principles, Krishna is acting, or Krishna made arrangements in this way that Vasudev had to get apparently bewildered or confused. He didn't know, in spite of writing all the way up to Vedanta Sutra, he was feeling confused. So Narad Muni then came, his spiritual master, and he told him what was the cause of his despondency, what was the cause of his dissatisfaction. And what did he point out? He said, Vas, you did not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead absolutely purely. Although Krishna has been described in Mahabharata and directly or indirectly in all the Puranas and Upanishad, but still the glorification was not completely pure. Therefore he gave him the instruction. But before giving the instruction, he actually pointed out about his own experience, narrating his own experience, that, you know, Vas, I also was bewildered. But I was a little child, and as a child I came across the Paramahamsas, and I received the mercy of the Paramahamsas, and I received their mercy in the form of their remnants and in the form of their instructions. And then I acted according to their instruction. And by acting according to their instruction, I experienced the transcendental joy. And not only that, I actually came to the point where I could develop a direct relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will be described in the later verses. So in this way, Narad Muni is explaining to Vasudev, or you can say through Srila Vasudev, Narad Muni is establishing the process of Krishna consciousness. That apparently everyone is conditioned in a material nature, everyone is bewildered in the material nature, and everyone is suffering in the material nature. But then, due to their good fortune, they come across a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And when he comes across the devotee and hears from him submissively, respectfully, and acts according to the instruction, then he can receive devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the basis of transcendental ecstasy. So, I'll stop now. Yesterday also I couldn't allow any questions, so today I'll give about 10 minutes to questions. Yes.
You said when the skin gets in touch with Krishna, then all the other sense merge into it. So it's explained that in the spiritual world all the senses are absolute, so that we can also see with the skin and hear with the eyes like this. How it is this when all merges into one, how we can then see with the skin?
First of all, when it is said that all the senses can perform the activities of all other senses, or all the limbs can perform the activities of the other limb, this has specifically been mentioned about Krishna. Angani jasya sakalendriya vritti manti. It is Krishna's senses and Krishna's limbs that can do that, but not the living entity's limbs. But here also we have to understand that on the spiritual platform, the consciousness is of a different level altogether. And that cannot again be analyzed by our material understanding. That where we do not really know how different limbs can perform the activities of other limbs. We do not know how Krishna can see through his nail and how Krishna can eat through his eyes. It is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. But first of all, we have to understand that the spiritual activities are, as it is, beyond our analysis. Yes,
you just mentioned it's beyond our analysis. So is part of surrender the fact to let go of our reasoning power and
yes,
logic?
Very good. Yeah. Jayantipri Prabhu is making a point that beyond our analysis, does it mean that this is beyond our reasoning ability, and when we surrender, it means that, give up all your reasoning ability or reasoning faculties. Yes. Na medhaya na bahun nayam atma prabochanena labhya na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. This transcendental realization cannot be achieved by arguments, by discussions, even by studying of the Vedas. Not by intelligence, not by reasoning, not by any of these things. Jame vaisha brinute tena labha vibrinute tanusham. It can be achieved only through the mercy of a devotee of the Lord, not by any other means. And how do we receive the mercy of the devotee of the Lord? By surrender. When we give up all our independence, even to perceive independently, even to think independently, even to act independently, when you give up all these faculties, when you become totally surrendered, then the mercy of the Lord will flow through his devotees, and we will be able to perceive the spiritual reality, not otherwise. Hare Krishna. Any other question? There was yes. Can you say a little louder? Yes. You see, by associating with book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat, we come to the platform of steady devotional service. Nashta Prayeshu. And this has actually mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nittam Bhagavata Sivaya. The word Prayeshu means almost. And Nashta means destroyed. So all these anarthas are almost destroyed. But it is said that some anarthas, some very subtle anarthas, still continue to remain. And those anarthas become completely purified when one comes to the platform of bhava. Only in the bhava platform one becomes completely purified of all his material contamination. And therefore Prabhupada also mentioned that one can actually fall down even from the bhava platform while he is explaining Bharat Maharaja is taking out the body of a deer. Although he was in the bhava platform, he actually apparently fell down, so-called fall down, he had the so-called fall down and got the body of a deer. But only on the bhava but when one achieves the prema, pure love for the Lord, then only he becomes completely free from all the anarchy.
So that means on that platform there's no Baba says. Baba says including.
Okay, Gauranga Premananda is making a question. So then does it mean that on that that platform there is no Bhagavat Seva? So, no. Actually in Krishna consciousness, the means and the goal are the same. In Krishna consciousness we do not give up. But what we do, that becomes more and more intensified and magnified. So actually it is not that when we, by Bhagavat Seva, we come to the platform of Nishtha, being free from anarthas, then we say, now I don't need any Bhagavat Seva. Or when you reach the platform of Bhava, we say, okay, now I reach the platform of Bhava, so I made it, and now there is no more need for Bhagavat Seva. No, actually, the more we advance, whatever we do, those activities of ours become more intensified. Not that we give up those activities, but I'll give you an example, how they become more intensified and on the spiritual platform. You see, Raghunath Das Goswami, although he was the son of a king, he became the ideal renunciate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually showed renunciation through Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was famous for his renunciation, so much so that he used to take some buttermilk only once in 3 days. So, one day, Raghunath Das Goswami became sick. And then the rich business people from Mathura were great patrons of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So when the news reached to Mathura, which was a big city at that time, that Raghunath Das Goswami was sick, so they sent some doctors to treat Raghunath Das Goswami. So the doctor came and said, after treating him, said that Raghunath Das Goswami is suffering from indigestion. So when they heard, how is it possible? The person who takes just some buttermilk, that also once in every 3 days, how can he have indigestion? But then it was revealed that actually the night before, Raghunath Das Goswami attended a feast in the spiritual sky. And there, he did take too much sweet rice. So it is not that the devotees give up even eating. They don't even give up eating. Because eating also is a part of devotional service. It's a part of devotional activities. So none of the devotional activities are given up. On the other hand, they actually become spiritualized. So they, as one makes advancement, the Bhagavad, he becomes more and more absorbed in Bhagavata Seva. And ultimately it is a Nittam Bhagavata Seva. It's an uninterrupted Bhagavata Seva. So no, in the spiritual platform, we don't give up the means when we achieve the goal.
But then what becomes added to Bhagavad Seva? Because Bhagavad Seva is prayas who not complete or not able to completely destroy the anarchists, so then something must be added to Bhagavad Seva.
No, the understanding is that through the Bhagavad Seva, one will come to the platform of other realizations or other stages of levels of achievement. From Nishtha he will come to the platform of Ruchi. From Ruchi he will come to the platform of Ashakti. From Ashakti he will come to the platform of Rati or Bhava. And then he will come to the platform of Prema. And everything will be accomplished by the mercy of the devotees. He has done that.
Yesterday you were talking about the samadhis, and you were particularly stressing the emotional side, they're displaying emotions. But the principle being that they consider themselves more advanced than that. And you were talking about truthfulness, because there's a lack of truthfulness there. So sometimes we hear that we can justify lying for Krishna on the strength of Yudhishthira's lie, etc. That one justifies acting beyond dharma on the strength. So is this an example of sahajas as well? Is that an example of thinking ourselves more advanced than we actually are?
You see, yes, one can break these religious principles like truthfulness only if Krishna says, or Krishna's devotees say, if the spiritual masters say, then you see, our main principle is not the dharma. Our principle is surrender, shraddha. So the principle of shraddha supersedes the principle of dharma. So for the sake of our shraddha for Krishna, for the sake of our faith in Krishna, if we break the religious principle, that is okay. Therefore, what Yudhishthira Maharaj's fault was in that point, at that point. Like, his mistake was that he considered dharma to be more important than surrender to Krishna. You see, that was his mistake. And that was pointed out in Mahabharata. That if Krishna says, break the principles, then we have to break the principles. Because Krishna is ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He is the propounder of Dharma. So, Dharma is not separate from Krishna. Dharma is Dharma because Krishna gave it. Right? So if Krishna tells us to break that Dharma that He gave before, then this actually becomes more important. The later instruction becomes more important. Therefore, the ultimate Dharma, which has been pointed out also in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam braja. This mam ekam saranam braja is the ultimate dharma.
It is said that morality actually is a detrimental on the path of, is not held to bhakti, it's detrimental to bhakti. Like Arjuna, he didn't consider, I'm going to kill Brahmins. On Krishna's order, he killed so many Brahmins. Or Vasudeva didn't consider, if I exchange baby Krishna with a little daughter of Nanda, then it will be a child murder. I'm going to give my child in safety, and her child, that little child will be killed by Kamsa. He didn't consider. For Krishna's sake, he was ready to kill that child. Or the gopis, they were also said that they break all Veda dharma. They became prostitutes, practically. They gave all that dharma, give up dharma to please Krishna.
Right. Na dharmam. Shruti Gana Niruktan. So actually in the ultimate consideration of Krishna consciousness, the dharma or morality, they are secondary. We should be careful that it must be done only for Krishna. Like it is immoral for a woman to give up her husband and run after some other man. It is immoral. But if it is done for Krishna, then that is the highest morality. Why? Because Krishna is even the husband of the husbands.
That's one of my questions in relation to all these personalities you mentioned, Arjuna, Gopis. I mean, for us to apply that, or for us to justify on our own account, would that be an example of considering ourselves more advanced or on a higher level?
No, the thing is that we are not considering ourselves more advanced. But what we are doing is, as I said, like it must be done by Krishna's instruction or spiritual master's instruction. Because spiritual master is Krishna's representative. But also the spiritual master has to be very, very careful when he says about breaking the principle or breaking the religious principle. It has to be done with absolute Krishna consciousness. Like spiritual master also may ask his disciple, say, to tell a lie. I mean, I'm just, usually spiritual master won't. But if he does, then you have to understand that he consulted with Krishna before he told us. And the thing is that the devotee individually is not thinking that, well, now I'm so advanced that now I can lie. If he does that, then that is sahaja. Yes.
In the expression devotional service is given, always wonder what it actually means, because in the material world, service doesn't mean something tasty, and does it also, is it just our ISKCON activities which means devotional service? Or
yes. It's not that in the material nature devotional service is not tasty, but because you are jaundiced, you are not getting the taste. The taste is there, but because of your diseased condition, you are not experiencing the taste. Like a person who has jaundice, he doesn't taste the sweetness of sugar candy. I'll stop now. I'm already 7 minutes.